This is Heroin Addiction, presented by That Time I Got Reincarnated in the Same World as an Anime Podcaster, where we cover romance and drama manhwa, and also explore why everyone is actually a communist deep down. I'm Isekai Sensei-sama, aka Brad, and as always, I'm joined by Bento Baggins, aka Ben.
Hello.
So today, we're going to be covering This Isekai Maid is Forming a Union. This is a recommendation to us, and I will tell you who recommended it in our shoutouts, which I'll do right now. Before I tell you who that is, I want to shout out Pearl Star from YouTube. That's Pearl Star 5323. All these people have all these numbers in their name. The Pearl Star commented on our on the YouTube release of Fantasy of a Stepmother. And actually gave us some really good information. So I wanted to shout that out right now and let you know. We had talked in there about the young prince from a foreign land, and I was like, I'm not sure where they're from, if that's like, if they're from India or whatever that is. So apparently the place is actually called Safavid, S-A-F-A-V-I-D. Safavid is actually the name of the 16th through 18th century dynasty ruling Iran, but they were a Turkic Turkic tribe in origin. Ottomans took a lot of the Iranian Persian influence and language, so the characters work as both a Turkish analog, but probably as more of a Safavid Iran analog. Instead, since Ali is more important name for the Shia Safavids than the Sunni Ottomans. Well, a lot of good information there.
Comic was a lot smarter than I thought.
Yeah. But we always appreciate extra information. I think the last one we did, I actually asked people to give information if they had. But thanks again to Pearl Star for that. So moving on to this series. The person who recommended Isekai Maid Forming a Union is Trover. Trover 2345325. I mean, like, come on.
I think you have to. I mean, like, this is a very old man thing. Like, I remember when YouTube names didn't have numbers. I was the first Isekai Sensei-sama.
So that's actually from Reddit. Trover commented on the post on r/Otome Isekai for A Talented Maid, and he recommended this series. So thanks, Trover. We read it, and we're going to give you our opinion. One last shout-out from Rena, our best fan. Rena commented on our website on the Solitary Lady episode. She's really excited for this episode. One thing in particular, she says it's a bit divisive in the community because it's indie and quite meta. So be interested to see how we get through this. Once again, thanks, Rena. And again, everybody, please comment. Let us know what you think. If you've got... you know,
I was just double checking something. I actually encountered Trover in the wild.
Oh,
yeah. I was researching this, and like, I feel like Trover is like the foremost Maid Union scholar.
Oh, maybe.
I've seen so many Reddit. I've read a lot of these Reddit posts. Okay, this is exciting.
Well, I hope we don't disappoint them too much. All right, so as always, I will read the summary here, and then we'll get into the discussion. Anyone who raises their hand to a maid will feel Bridget's wrath. Bridget is a young woman who has been isekai'd 10 times as a maid, and she has had enough of Otome Isekai protagonists abusing their power, slapping maids, and using them as pawns to do their dirty work. Her solution? Form a union. protect her coworkers, and bring the worst house down. The only people who should be put in their place are those who raise their hands to their employees. So, this isekai maid is forming a union. This is a really interesting one because it is not anywhere close to anything we've read before. Although I say anywhere close, but it's actually pretty close, but also pretty far, since it's not sort of like the classic, I don't even know how to describe what we've read so far in like a few simple words, but it's doing so many things, in that space, but in a completely different way. And what was really interesting, I know we've started doing this at the end where we go, you know, what's the recommendation strength? And then like the super secret recommendation at the end of like, would Kermit like this? I started reading this and I was like halfway through the prologue and I went, oh my God, Kermit would love this. And immediately went and like said, hey, you should start reading this. Do you hear that? Or is that?
Yeah. It's very unprofessional. You need to seal your environment.
I told my son and my wife I was recording. No, what?
My ears are burning. Let me in.
Do you hear that on your side too?
Yeah, it sounds like your door is slowly cracking apart.
Huh.
Reinforce the podcasting barricades.
Oh, Kermit, you're here.
Hey! I've been pounding on your door for like, I don't know how many minutes, a long time now.
I have all this soundproofing. I have all the soundproofing up. There's no way I could have heard that.
Oh, I'm sorry about your door then, but I heard you talking about maids and unions, and I got very interested and barged my way into this virtual space.
Well, yeah, we're recording the episode for the series that I recommended to you.
And recommend you did, and read it I did, so here I am, validating my queer parking card, talking about lesbians and unions.
Yeah, this was so crazy because there's been a bunch of series so far that like have little bits and pieces that were like, oh, Kermit like might like this, Kermit might like that, but like none of them have been like, oh, he'll like this whole thing, he'll get into this. But this one, just right away, I was just like, oh my God, every single piece of this, he is going to be all over this. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your initial experience when I first said you should read it?
So, I don't want to get too self-indulgent, but like in the past, you know, you have your segment when I like it, and I'm a very picky, choosy son of a gun, especially when it comes to this stuff, because I think there was the one that you talked up being like part shonen that I was like jazzed about, and then I read the first chapter and I'm like, no,
the Invincible.
Yeah. And it was like, I wanted to be involved, you know, you want to be, your friends are big into it, you want to go, I want to see what's about it. And this felt like a very weird but good intro for me to getting into it. And you were like, read the entire first little prologue chapter and go from there. And I read that and was hooked. I was like, yes, this is what I've been talking about. This is the thing that I want, that an isekai, whether a tome or otherwise, is not just a very basic, I mean, usually fantasy isekai, like a cis male power fantasy, and I guess in a tome, which is where you're going to have to help me. I'm very much in the deep end right now. I don't know what's going on. I had to make a lot of assumptions. I have osmosis listening to these podcasts. More of a, like, feminine, straight, white power fantasy. Maybe. I don't know. I'm just going off from that. And this feels very from my space. This feels very more familiar to me, which I think is what called me to it.
I do think we need to remove white.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, admittedly, yes. Let me change my better language for it. Majority class, we'll say.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair. Because, yeah, a lot of these, you know, Japanese or Korean, like, those are going to be the primary audiences.
Correct. So, yes, ruling majority.
Yeah, it's still going to be generally cis cisgendered target audience. And yeah, it's almost all of them, at least especially the ones we've covered so far, are definitely power fantasy things. And this is, I wouldn't go so far as to say this is a power fantasy, but there's an element of like
it's someone my, it's taking part of my power fantasy.
Yeah,
taking
yeah.
Down a, taking down a corrupt system is very yeah. much in my power fantasy wheelhouse.
There's an angst to it,
yeah.
for sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we should probably explain a little bit about what this series is doing, because it is very, very meta. The protagonist of the series, Bridget, which is only her name in this incarnation, I think they do a pretty good job of sort of separating the different lives she has, because they do this thing where that a lot of other isekai things don't do, where they're like, oh, she doesn't remember her past life completely, but she gets bits and pieces as she gets older. And sometimes she gets like a lot, but she's never like the same person every time, even though she still ends up as a maid every time.
I had a question about this, because she also, unless I'm jumping ahead, gets like weird dream visions from like a her from the future that is reading the manhwa. And it was yeah. very like, I didn't know if this was a thing that showed up in other ones or it was just specifically to be able to talk about and mess around with more of the meta-ness of it, but it was just like, she is isekai'd multiple times, but she is also somehow tethered to a current version of herself that also gives her information.
Yeah.
And it was very, like, wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey. And I was just like, I was very much of like, is this normal? Has this shown up everywhere? Or is this very exclusive to this isekai maid is forming a union?
This one is doing everything.
Yeah.
Like, there are all these sub-genres of otome isekai, where it's like a different kind of reincarnation, or somebody's connected to a modern person, or even like Deadpool aware that they're in a novel almost. But usually they limit themselves to one, one of these tropes. This one does all of them. But I was also going to say, there's something I've noticed that in addition to knowing like the groundwork of the story, you also kind of have to know the groundwork of the community. Like,
I mean, yeah, they talk about it in the story, in yeah. the vein of this future self.
This is an otome isekai for otome isekai readers, particularly English translation otome isekai readers. And there's something I've noticed as I've hung out in the community and I lurk, I guess. I talk sometimes very infrequently in the Discord and the Reddit. There are a lot of people living in America, perhaps, you know, people of color, who are reading the otome isekai. They really like the genre, but there are things about the genre that keep alienating them from it. And of course, the freckles is a big thing. Like the obsession with skin color. Like
I had to ask you guys about the freckles, because I'm like, is this a thing in all of them? Like, I feel like I've seen it somewhere else before where people are getting down on freckles, and I'm like, freckles rule. Exactly. I guess not necessarily yeah. just exactly what you said, but I'm a part of that where I'm just like, I don't get this. This does not make cultural sense to me.
So there is something, this is sort of like a, I want to say trigger warning, but that's not what this is, but there's something I need to sort of get out of the way before we really dive into all of the pieces of this, because there's a thing that they do in this series where they're talking about like, oh yeah, when the otome isekai, the female lead, the main character, the protagonist comes in to this world, they, you know, however that is, you know, they're a modern person, and yet they're always like, oh, I'm going to, you know, slap the maids and I'm, you know, going to do this because like I'm in this setting now and that's what you do and everything. And I just need, like, as I'm reading this, I'm like, okay, like, I'm sure that this is a thing that happens, but like, I don't read any series where the main character treats the help poorly.
See, I assumed reading it. This is where talking to you guys helped out, where I just assumed that was a thing, and that's why it was specifically being... parody is not the right word, but, like, that it was being dissected.
Satirized.
Yeah. Satire is maybe closer to it.
It's certainly possible that there are series that do that. The light novel versions, like the web novel stuff, they might do that even more. I don't read any of those, so I can't say for certain. But I think they're sort of like the author extrapolated a lot. I think they took these things that might have happened here and there, and they sort of like expanded on it to make a good story. And I think that they, you know, succeeded in that. I just need, like, especially for you, Kermit, as someone coming into this not having read other series, I'm reading this thinking this seems like a bad way to represent this entire genre.
I felt very empowered reading that. Here you go, Ben.
I was going to ask you about this, even because I've been getting my guided tour, and I don't think so far we've read anything that's bad. You've been recommending only the good ones to me. So what I have seen an Otome Isekai protagonist slap a maid, I have seen that happen many times, but it's usually the maid is conspiring against them. The maid is bringing them rotten food. The maid is trying to poison them.
They are actually doing something bad. Whereas in this series, they sort of like extrapolate that and they're like, the maids aren't actually doing anything bad. They're just doing their job. And the protagonist decides that they were doing something bad. It's like,
she's brought lukewarm food and she slaps the maid for it. No, I guess... There are little things like that in Otome Isekai. I think it's an exaggeration of the Otome Isekai thing.
Right.
Because I've seen times where it's rotten food, and that's like, okay, obviously. Maybe not slap, but, you know, make it again. I wouldn't slap somebody for bringing me rotten food. I just wouldn't eat it. But in Otome Isekai, it seems like it's always presented as the... noble allowing the staff to disrespect them is the height of weakness. And the noble needs to assert themselves by corporally punishing the staff. And that's the trope they're kind of trying to deconstruct.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I think a part of that, if I'm remembering correctly, of some of the after chapter segments that the person who wrote this is also bringing some of their experience in working in the service industry, which can be a really bad time, especially around the time that this was written, which was during quarantine and slightly afterwards when everybody was extra terrible to people in the service industry. So there's, besides the satirization of all these isekai concepts, they're bringing in, again, what I think their view is of reading them with their own life experience. And I can't... This is the follow-up on that I want to ask you guys about is, like, is there a current of racism in a lot of the other otome? Because, like, there is a very clearly stated thing of, like, oh, a lot of the maids are from this, like, other sea nation, that they're the ones that have the freckles and they're here, and, like, just sort of mostly everybody in the big European white nation is racist against the more tanned, darker skin, freckled, you know... I don't remember the names of these places. Sorry, I barely remember names of these places. But, like, there is... Limpet, yeah, fish related there, memory serves.
There is, it varies from Otome Isekai to Otome Isekai. There is definitely in Asia and around the world a colorism where dark is not beautiful. And that's probably the most mild version of it. It can get pretty.
Yeah.
This is interesting though, because in a lot of the Otome Isekai that I've read, they. So, yeah, Asia in general tends to favor lighter skin. It's a thing in India, China, Japan, Korea, all these Asian nations where, like, the target
it's
of beauty is...
It's not unique to them.
Right.
Just to be fair, like, global colorism is a thing. It's a thing in America, too, but...
It's a huge industry in Asia. Like, they have all these, like, oh, this... cream whitens your skin and this kind of stuff and you know, certain places like India have, it's sort of bad where it's like, hey, we got rid of the caste system. It's like, we sort of didn't, because if you have really dark skin, we're going to treat you poorly. So that is like a thing in real life. My experience in reading the Otome Isekai is that whenever they introduce a character that is darker skinned, it's almost always a sort of like a fetishization of dark skin. Like the character is really hot and they're presented as like, oh, look how sexy they are and everything.
There is, yeah, from, yeah.
Sometimes. There's the exotic other kingdom.
There we go.
Yeah.
But there is also every now and then an offhand comment about somebody getting like too much sun or a freckle.
Well, and the way I normally see it presented is that like there will be people in that world who are sort of racist to them, but like the protagonist and like the good guys are like, no, they're super beautiful. Like, how could you say that?
Like, it's never a theme. It's just a thing that is occurring. It's not like, right. I would say this made, Isekai Maid Swarming Union is partially about, explicitly about racism, which again, yeah, I can see of the readers of, we'll say English speaking readers. I could collectively say in America. I don't know the nationality of the author of this series, so probably should have learned that. Would help me speak from a more knowledgeable place, but like, I could understand that if you were a person of color living in America, reading these things and constantly seeing this thing that like is treated as a problem, but not like a capital P problem. This is what the story's about. And that being very dealable, but upsetting on a very frustrating level, if I'm being honest.
And
yeah.
I should say, you know, as much as I want to say like, hey, this doesn't represent the Otome Isekai series that I've read all that well, I should say that it's got enough pieces and enough of the meta commentary in there that is pretty accurate, on top of the fact that it's dealing with real world issues, like issues in our world today that they have sort of transplanted into that fantasy world, that I think there's enough there to say like, yes, it is doing this commentary well.
Yes.
I would say it's also, to balance the equation a little bit, there's the deconstruction of like all the problematic stuff in Otome Isekai, but this person would not be writing this if they didn't love Otome Isekai.
Yes. This is coming from a place, I don't know if I would say of love, but of enjoyment.
Mm-hmm. There's a almost like a one what I've seen from people who want to write their own Otome Isekai, there's a wanting to expand the genre to include a different kind of story as well.
Yeah.
Because I think there is a concern of like, okay, I like this thing from Korea. Would Korea like it if I was the main character? Maybe not. Like that, I think that's sort of where some of the, I'm saying angst, but I don't mean to belittle it. Like some of the tension,
frustration
comes from.
Yeah. So, you know, as I said, I think it's doing a lot of stuff really well, even if it's maybe not the best representation of what's actually out there. Now, that said, there could be a lot of older series that I don't know at all that do that. It would make sense to me that older series would do that, because
a little more
sort of like
problematic.
Yeah, getting away from like racism and sexism and stuff like that is unfortunately a fairly recent thing.
Well, they're a fairly recent thing is they're more aware of their global audience too.
Yeah.
I mean, even in not just that stuff of things that are problematic and poking at them, there's the point of the, you see, the prince, I don't remember if he's an isekai guy or not. This is where my ability to take in information, because there was a lot going on, was fuzzy, and also it's been a couple weeks since I read it. But, like, there's the whole thing, they make a point of, like, this guy's a sociopath, but the way the story goes out, he finds love in the end, and then he's fine, and he doesn't serve any punishment for any of the terrible things that he's done, and the world just keeps turning, and everybody's happy and love. And it's like, no, that's not how it works. And it was very, again, this was another case where I didn't know if this was normal to isekai, but I felt it was very gratifying to see that, like, no, this is BS. Like, they don't just, he could be, love made him better. He's not a crazy killer anymore. He's fine, guys. It's so, fine.
Yeah, that's Lord Demeter. I think he's just, like, a count or something.
He's some royal political guy. I don't know.
So that is actually one where I'm pretty on board with what they're the commentary that they're making there.
That one seems very explicitly about Otome because they specifically in story talk about people in the comments on forums having these discussions. Like, it's not even like, oh yeah, whatever. It's like, no, literally I'm talking about the comments section.
Now, I haven't seen any series where it's like explicitly like, oh, they just murdered a bunch of innocent people and then we're just going to like push that under the rug. But there are plenty of like cold Dukes of the North and stuff like that, that like straight up kill people all the time. Most of the time those people have done something bad, but they are just like killing people and, you know, not locking them up and letting the justice system work. And then the story sort of like goes, oh, but don't you feel bad for that cold Duke of the North? He has to do this stuff.
He had such a bad upbringing.
Yeah.
Which is always my problem with anime and manga, and I guess manhwa now in general, where it's just like, no, this doesn't change the situation for me now.
Yeah. The sad backstory.
Yeah.
And the thing is, they did that with Demeter, or Marinus. Marinus is his first name.
Because he doesn't, where, he's part ocean people. I'm sorry, I don't know the actual name. I feel really limpet, bad saying that, but limpet, yes.
Well, and what was actually...
You can tell that because of the name. Like, I genuinely really liked, as someone who's bad at remembering things, that it's like, oh, it's an ocean-based name. That connects to the limpets. And
it was
nice for me, a child, reading these things.
What was really interesting to me about that whole sort of commentary line is that there is a part later on where they sort of get more in depth with his backstory, and I found myself going, oh, he had it really hard. Of course, then I went, that doesn't excuse murdering like 15 maids, but like there's that point in there where it's like, oh, I can see why this is a thing that we need to call out.
So, this is a question for you as the Isekai Sensei-sama. We have read a lot of Otome Isekai now that have very clear Yuri bait. Mm-hmm. I know there are explicitly Yuri comics, but is letting the like sapphic relationships actually happen a subversion of the tropes as well? Is that something that constantly happens in Otome Isekai, where they walk right up to the line of like, maybe there's going to be a girl-girl romance, and then like, but we both get married to guys.
I can't really comment on that for certain because of the fact that like, I know that there are series that are explicitly Yuri out there. I haven't read them. And so I don't know if, like, in the beginning of those series, if there's some kind of back and forth with, like, a male lead, and then it goes to, you know, a lesbian relationship after that or something like that. All of the series that I've read that have Yuri bait in them, there's never a point where the reader would go, oh, it might turn into Yuri here. Like, you want it to.
Well, no, but that's what I think Ben is saying, is that they will dance around it, but they will never commit to it, and that satirizing it is actually like, no, this is, as you said, a sapphic relationship.
But that's not just like I can't,
like over here and there. I feel like that's the frustration of it.
I can't comment on it because I think that those series probably do exist, but I haven't read them.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. There's just been a couple of times where I think. Villainous Turns the Hourglass, I might be thinking. Is that the one with Sarah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There is a point where, like, Sarah's husband is just a non-character.
Well.
The only person Sarah shows interest in is the female protagonist. And they show a lot of interest in each other. And their eyes light up when they enter a room. And it's drawn that way.
Yeah.
It's drawn to be like, oh, these two adore each other. And that's never shown with the male protagonists.
gives me big male shonen protagonist and his rival energy.
Yeah. Well, there's that.
Goku and Vegeta should just kiss. Like, that's, you know, it's like, that's never happening, but...
You need to keep the Saiyan race going.
They have a more closer relationship to each other than either of them have to their wives, so...
Yeah.
It's just the weirdness that comes out of that kind of writing system.
But yeah, I mean, I had the same question of, like, how prevalent is this? Are they actually, you know, turning this genre on its head in this case? I would have to say they probably are to an extent, just because of the fact that they are portraying realistic human gay relationships, you know?
Yeah. So, like, here's my like 5-second analysis is like the isekai genre is all about indulging the fantasy, right? The otome isekai genre is all about like indulging the fantasy of like, I read romance novels, but they frustrate me sometimes because of the decisions characters make. So what if I was in the romance novel and I could make all the right decisions?
Yeah.
And then this comic takes it a step further. It's like, I like otome isekai novels, but what if I could also be reincarnated into the otome isekai novel and fix all the problems I have with otome isekai novels?
But oh shit, I'm a maid. What am I going to do now?
Yeah.
So I don't know if this is the part of the episode where I want to talk about, like, I like what they're doing. I like the idea, but it's not working for me.
I mean, we should probably just throw that out there. Yeah. So we all, I think it's safe to say we all enjoyed the concept of what was being done here.
Yes.
Is that safe to say?
I got very excited about it and then read a bunch at a burst and then just fell off for reasons I couldn't quite parse and will hopefully discover in this conversation. And so, I feel bad about it, but...
I don't know that I feel bad about it because I definitely want to sing some praises here.
I don't think it's a tough one because I don't think it's a bad work. No, I don't think it's a bad comic. It's not for me. There's a couple reasons for it. I think
we'll probably get into this a little bit more when we do the rubric. There are some parts of it that I think were done poorly. I wouldn't say that those necessarily detract from the whole thing. If someone, you know, gets interested in this from the way we're talking about it and goes to check it out, if you like this, there's nothing, you know, objectively that would be like, oh, you shouldn't like it because of this. But there are parts of it that I think were not done as well as they could be.
Like, please, if any of what we're talking about interests you, there's like a weird prologue chapter that kind of takes you through a lot of the ideas and concepts before it like properly digs in with actual chapter one. And I mean, that's what Brad had me read, and then that was what got me really interested. So I would say read that if any of this even tickles your fancy, and then go from there.
Yeah. Everybody listening to this should at least read the prologue. I think it's worthwhile to check that out, and it gives you a really good idea of the concept that they're going for.
If we ever do an episode of anything on just purely webcomics?
I mean...
I don't know where that would fit.
Aren't they all webcomics at this point?
I mean, have we ever talked about, like, the old school webcomics from when we were growing up?
I think we talked a little bit about that on the main podcast at some point, but not, like, in depth.
I don't think we've had a specific channel platform to do that, so maybe the show needs to get taken out of the mothballs.
Yeah. So the reason I mention it is because the first thing I noticed about this was, like, from the art to the writing to just the sheer amount of lore, this is such a webcomic. Like, this is such a webcomic from, like, back in my high school days. I used to go through a million of these. And if you put this in front of 17-year-old Ben, I probably would have been super into it.
The author has been thinking about this a lot.
Yeah. Which,
props to them. I always want to make sure that you like, miss that it's like, I don't want to be disparaging, but also...
Because when I was in high school, like, I would come up with, my OCs, and I'd have a bunch of lore for my OCs, and the plots would get just... You have enough plot for, like, three different stories, but you're using all your best ideas in this story because, like, you just want to make it as good as possible, and you don't know, like, sometimes less is more. I don't know. That's the vibe I got.
I think you're right. I couldn't quite put my finger on it and didn't then talk to people and think about it, which I guess what we're doing now is, like, it feels like there's too many things in the soup all the time where it's, like, and it gives it this very, like, at least for me, and also some of this is, like, I'm excited to hear you guys because, like, I'm a tourist right now. Like, I don't, I only know things via osmosis. I've never visited these places before in other forms. I just have hearsay and whatnot. So it felt, but it had, like, a dream, like, where it would take a while talking about this, and then it would just talk about something completely different, ignore whatever had happened there, and it felt very, like, okay, now we're this, oh, now we're introducing another plot column and thread that we already had a bunch of others to do, and, like, maybe they'll get back to it, maybe they won't, and it's, like, it gave it a very, I don't want to say entirely hard to follow sense, but at least for me, who was, like, already overwhelmed by a lot of things, was just, like, I'm having a hard time keeping track of everybody and what's going on, and, like, when we are in time, because it's, like, there's the maid as she is now, and then there's her past lives where she knows this big massacre is coming, and that it, but she's been through that a couple times, but also, like, it's, they're talking about it like it's right around the corner, but also there's her weird future dream self sending her information on top of that. But then also we just do something else for three chapters, even though you told me this massacre is imminent, and it still hasn't happened yet, at least where I was at a couple chapters in, even though they're like, it's imminent, and it gave, like, my sense of time was all, like, a shook up snow globe, and I'm like, again, dreamlike. I'm like, I don't know where we're at in time and space. I don't know what's real, and it's a too much, it's too many things soup. It's a too much, it's too many things sandwich. There's too many things on the sandwich.
That's exactly the experience that I had. So I can tell you that that's not, like, because you don't read otherwise.
Okay, good. Good to hear.
That is my main issue with the series, is that there, like you said, there are so many things where it's hard to tell where in time you are, who you're following. There was a chapter, a little, just a few chapters before the end of season one, so probably in the 30s or something like that, where I was reading it and suddenly everything clicked and I went, oh, that was this and this and this and this and this, which is good that that's there, but also it's not good that it took that long. One of the really big problems is that there's another maid in the current timeline in the same house that looks almost identical to the main character.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about there's two brunette maids that I did not know were two separate humans for the longest time. And
that was the thing I was going to talk about.
Okay, I'm really glad that wasn't just me, because I'm very terrible at keeping track of faces in both art and real life. So I was like,
no, so
I thought that was the me thing.
The main character, Bridget, she is dark-skinned, lots of freckles, green hair.
Ocean.
There's another maid.
Aquamarine.
In the same house, who is, like, the lover of one of the noble twin girls who are, like, the in that house, who has all of the exact same features, except I don't think she has freckles, or maybe less freckles.
I thought they had different noses.
Not enough of a distinction. And color. Color should make it so... Usually that's why I like animated stuff, because color makes it so easy for me. I don't know. Why do you... you can't see it, listening audience, but it's like, I have colorful hair. I'm drawn to that because it helps me differentiate humans. And this... I love the palette in this comic, but yeah, like, keeping track of people is weirdly hard. And it's not like it's bad art. I just don't know what's going on. I thought it was something with me.
You add in the fact that we jump around between timelines a lot. And so for the longest time, I was like, oh, this is her in a different life. And it's like, nope.
Oh,
no, that's a different character. That's a completely different character in the same timeline that we're in right now.
So there's a couple of things. The first thing is, like, I was constantly waffling between, like, okay, there's just too much. Like, that's an objective criticism of the writing. It's a subjective criticism, sorry. But, like, I want to criticize the writing. But then they would point out how convoluted it was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there is a point where she's trying to explain to another maid how she knows all this stuff, and she's explaining her multiple lives, her connection to somebody from the modern world, the fact that there are other reincarnators in the mix.
Yeah.
And they're drawing it like the like Sephiroth or the Yggdrasil or something. And it's just super complicated. And the other maid's looking at it and it's like, I can't follow this. and so it's like that kind of self-aware stuff. It's like, yeah, Otome Isekai does get really convoluted. Like, is it intentionally making fun of something? Or is it just like, I made fun of it, so you can't.
Well, and that's there's definitely there was a part where I was thinking, is this just meta satire?
No,
but like, then like I feel like I can't be that not, generous with
if
it.
If it's not good when you're taking it in, it's too much and it's not good. This is like a video game thing where it's like, tee hee, we're sending you on this fetch quest to get 5 rats. Isn't it so fun and funny and meta that we're sending you on a fetch quest for 5 rats? And you still have to do the quest and it's not fun. Like, being meta and cute about it doesn't make the quest fun. It just, you were just meta and cute about it. It doesn't remove the problem.
So, I'm going to go on a slight tangent here to sort of explain my thought process here, because in reading it, I'm going, am I too stupid to understand what's going on here? Is the meta-ness of this, am I just missing it? Am I not picking up on it? So the story I need to tell is a story I told to Kermit very recently, and I started to tell Ben earlier. There's a song from like 15 years ago. It's called Ruler of Everything. It's by Tally Hall, okay? For whatever reason, my son has been getting this song recommended to him on YouTube. So I'm sitting here in my office, and I keep hearing this song out in the living room as he's watching this. And he's watched various videos with it in it multiple times. And so at some point, I'm like, okay, I've got this song stuck in my head now. I just need to listen to it. So I go out and listen to it, and it's a catchy song. There's a reason it's stuck in my head. But there's a lot going on in the song. It's very dense. The lyrics are sometimes hard to understand and everything. There's another video out on YouTube that explains the song. And so after I had listened to it once or twice, I was like, oh, I'll check this out and see what's going on here. And I watched this 15-minute explanation video and went, am I stupid? Like, I didn't pick up on any of this. Not one single piece of it that I understand, apparently, as the author of this song intended. And so that experience then led that thought process I'm having with this series of like, am I just missing this? Do I consume so many things on such a superficial level that when I'm reading something that does have a undercurrent of like meta commentary and stuff, am I just missing that completely? Which in this series, it's impossible to miss most of the meta commentary, because that's the whole point. But could there be an even deeper level to it that I'm missing here?
I don't know, my dude. I don't know.
Well, it's a weird combo of like self-aware humor, but also take this very seriously.
Yeah.
Like, which I think you can do that. We've seen series do that. I guess it just
I think it's just a lot.
Right? It's like, I feel like that's what we keep coming back to. It's too much.
Yeah. It's 60 some chapters, and it feels like it's been 200.
I did feel like
and
I read a lot.
I haven't like looked at a word count, but I would say there's a lot more text in this than others.
I think that's, yeah, that's safe to say. I would say these are more 10-minute chapters rather than 5-minute chapters.
They're if longer, that's a good, they're more dense.
Yeah.
There's one thing I want to get to that I figured out starting to read it and getting into it more, and osmosising from your guys' past episodes. For me, the relationship in this series is when the maids will actually unionize. That is my moment of, like, just get to it. You talked about it. Everybody wants to do it. The viewers want to see it. Just unionize. That's what you put. Like, I felt like you guys waiting for it. It's like, just have her kiss the prince already. It's like, just have her unionize already. Like, I'm just, like, waiting. It's like, you, like, especially after the prologue chapter kind of moves the ball a little bit further, because it's kind of like a little, like, microcosm test bed of it. But it's just like, stop giving the other thought lines. Like, just kiss the union. Like, make it happen. Yeah. Like, you've set up enough things. Like, the main hook was in me. Like, I wanted to keep going because the main idea of what this is about and what it's combating is very much up my alley. And when I got those moments of, like, yes, this is a corrupt system that we were coming together and fighting against, I got really jazzed about. And then we had to spend all this other time lore building and talking about this and this and the future self and these past selves. And it's just like, I guess we keep coming back to it. It's a too many things sandwich when the base sandwich of what this is called, this isekai maid is forming a union, is already doing so much work and is so powerful and doesn't need all these extra pieces because that basis is already like, it's there. It's that's a story.
I agree with you because I think there's enough, like, I don't think any of this stuff is bad. I just think it's, there's enough plot to sustain this comic for like a decade. And I'm going to unfairly compare it to like one of the most well-regarded TV shows in a generation is like Breaking Bad. Like, how long does it take Walter White to decide to be a drug dealer? That's the hook, right? Like, he's going to make meth. Then once he makes meth,
not that long actually.
There's this whole world that builds around it. So unionize. That's like one little mini arc.
Yeah.
Get them hooked. Then pick and choose. Like, you need a focus for a couple of chapters. You need to, like, go with a romance angle. Go with a, you got your Jack the Ripper Noble going around trying to kill people. That could be a whole arc. Like, that could be the focus of a whole arc.
So that was the thing, is that in... So in the first season, and I'll say, I read the whole first season to really give myself, like, this is the picture of what's going on here.
How many chapters is the first season?
36, what was it?
Okay.
Yeah, 36. And so there is a point, there's a space of about 20 chapters, I'd say, that are, it goes basically right up to the end of the first season. There's a space of like 20 chapters where all of the unionizing stuff, they just don't talk about at all.
No.
It basically focuses completely on Lord Demeter.
The character and I want to spend the least amount of time with.
Now, so my thought process here is like, this is setting up, like Ben said, this can go on for a really long time. They are putting this here because he is going to be the primary antagonist. And so they have to establish him and his motivations and his weird stuff he's got going on so that they have those pieces for going on.
But it's already a meta piece. The people coming into it, it's his backstory is inferred. You don't need to tell us because it's...
That is
he's already set up as an antagonist by the virtue of you reading a meta commentary on Otome's. Like, it's already
establishing,
there.
Establishing and then... like embellishing is different. He's established as an antagonist simply by not wanting the maids to unionize. Like, that would be enough. And then as the story goes on and develops more, you can realize just how far he's willing to take this and just how much trouble she could be in. And let that tension sort of simmer a little
bit. That's a story. That's the story.
Yeah.
But there's 50 other stories and they're all good. They're just, I keep coming back to that. Everything on this burger is delicious, and I would eat it on a burger, but not all at the same time. I can't open my jaw that wide. I can't eat that much. My stomach's not that big.
That's a good analogy.
Yeah, and again, I just keep coming back to it. At the same time, so many of the webcomics I loved growing up have this exact same problem. And I love that people are still doing it. This person is probably much younger than me.
Almost assuredly.
Yeah, and I love
if they somehow hear this. Like, this is why I'm angry because I want to love this more. And
I love a lot creativity. Of what you're doing. Yeah, I like that it's still going, and it's charming in a way. Like, as much as I'm knocking it, it's charming because you have to write stories like this when you're a kid.
I don't think that they'll mind that we have some criticism of this, especially since overall the ideas are good. But this is rated at 9.79.
I think that's
on Webtoons.
I think that is earned because there's nothing. I mean, we're talking about it. There's no like this was bad. This was a bad choice. This was a wrong decision. This was messed up. It's just this is really good. I can't eat any more of this.
You're not going to go back and rate it
poorly because you're going to go the start where you're full of piss and vinegar and your stomach's empty and you're hungry. You're going, this is great. Slam the 10 button and then you just stop. That's, I think, what we all kind of did.
Maybe, couldn't
keep eating.
But let's point out the differences, though, is this is a webtoon. This is one author. One author, one artist?
I think
it's the same person. So they're doing, what, two updates a week? One update a week?
It says updates every Friday.
So that's a pretty intense schedule.
Correct.
And these Otome Isekais that you and I have been reading are A, based on a novel. So they've already got a story written. They hire an artist. These people are all getting paid by whatever web magazine is putting them up. And so there's rated amongst other webtoons, I could see this being a 9.
I mean, yeah, probably. Although I will say, on Webtoons, there are other series that are like, this is just a normal manhwa. There's actually two series that I read that are on there. So it is.
Is it similar
if you just think
conditions?
About what?
Is it like similar production conditions? Like one person?
Probably not. I would imagine that this one is more a straight up sort of webcomic thing, where the other ones are more like, hey, this is a manhwa that we've licensed or something like that.
This is a comic I'm publishing on the web.
Yeah.
It appears to be human. I'm looking at their profile in Webtoons and it says artist and writer. And their name is Frostlight Comics, which is what does this. So, I mean, not that they couldn't have help with it, but this seems like
they do have two other series, though. A one-homie relationship.
I know, I'm seeing this one called Fight Me that says it's a comedy.
Obviously, like, I don't want to... I don't want to come down on them I don't want to seem harsh or anything. Because, like I said, overall, like, I really enjoyed the ideas that are being presented here. Even if there's a lot of stuff that is way over exaggerated from like other Otome Isekai series, the ideas that they're presenting here, and I think Kermit's on board with this as well, like, these are things that are also real world concerns, and it's great that there is something that is like presenting these in a consumable way.
And it's giving vent to very real frustrations in the community.
Yeah.
Yes. I would love to watch an animated version of this, or like a live, maybe probably not a live action show because I probably have an even harder time keeping track of humans, but like a version that could give you a better sense of time and place and who's speaking, I feel like would help alleviate some of the issues of like, I don't know when we are, I don't know exactly who this is. Like, that always helps me keep better track of people and places and time, that having a webcomic where you don't have, like, time is a lot harder to nail down unless you're being very explicit about it, then you can't do that. I think that's what gives it this weird dreamlike state for me, where it's like we kind of float from thing to thing. And it doesn't feel as, like, focused.
I think they probably, if they had sort of differentiated, like, the different timelines and the different points in her reincarnation history with, like, a more stark difference of colors or style or camera angle, whatever that is, to sort of differentiate those more, I think it would be... I wouldn't have those criticisms that I did if they had done something like that. There's not enough of a clear delineation between a lot of those things. so that you can actually understand, like, oh, we've jumped back, or, oh, this is just a different person in the same timeline, or, oh, we're over here in this country now. One of the really confusing things is, like, her very last life. Well, part of the really confusing thing is that she's in the same world every time. So in a lot of stories, there's like, there's different universes. If someone gets reincarnated, they go someplace else or something like that.
I got to that point.
Or they do a time loop if they get reincarnated. They just go back. There's actually an author's note at the end of season one. One of her lives she did redo three times because the Otome Isekai protagonist that she was alongside in that life was doing loops.
Yeah, she just got, why can't I think of it? She just got Groundhog's Day. This is the time where they go crazy and kill people before they reset again.
So
that's a really interesting concept of what if you isekai into a world where somebody else is experiencing a time loop.
Yeah. I would say, if you get a couple chapters in and you're like, I'm really into this, but there's something here that's like making me, you know, maybe not want to continue it or something like that, I would say reading to the end of season one would be helpful. There's, like I said, there's a couple author's notes at the end of season one that actually explain some stuff. And I went, oh, okay. And it's sort of like a lot of dominoes fell into place. And I see Ben rolling his eyes. You shouldn't have to do that. It should be part of the story. And I agree.
The reason I'm rolling my eyes is because it's nerd. It's such nerd crap. Like, and I mean that in a friendly way. There, you see in the Discords and subreddits, like, all these fan theories about how this stuff practically works. And it's really indulging in that kind of, like, nerdiness when it's like, okay, but it is actually just like a plot device that makes no sense and doesn't have to.
Yeah. But as I said, I think it's worth it. If you think that what they're doing is good, it's probably worth it to try and get to the end of season one, at least to sort of like make some things fall into place. It might get you over the hump and then go, oh, okay, I see what's going on here. Because I think from now on, as I continue reading this, I'm not going to have those same problems of like time and place and person that I did in some of those earlier chapters. It would have been really nice if those earlier chapters didn't have those problems. But I think consuming it in the future, it's not going to have that issue. And I'm not going to have the same criticisms of it going forward.
I'm interested to see where it goes, because that was a trend with a lot of webcomics I was reading growing up, is there's a big dump of ideas at the beginning, and then it sort of sorts out, settles down, and figures out what it wants to be.
Yeah.
And that's why I did skip ahead a bit to like the current chapters. I don't think it's quite there yet, but I could see it getting there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe by like season three, I think it could have settled into something that I could really get into. And then, yeah, then I would recommend people. It's like, yeah, just bear with it. Get through the setup and then... Well, because once all of this stuff that was clearly floating around in this person's head is established, then we could just get to, this is how it all interacts. This is the character drama. This is, it's just a constant like waiting for it to settle so we can get to that.
So how about we dive into the rubric?
Let's get to that mythical rubric I've been hearing about.
We'll start in on this, because every time we've done the rubric so far, we've been like, okay, we're near the end, let's do the rubric. But it's like the rubric sparks more conversation. So there's some points in here that I think...
Walls of text.
I think it would be good to use the rubric to sort of continue down these paths. So to start off, the very first item is content and ideas. I'm just going to go ahead and say I'm giving this a 5 for content and ideas. I see Ben hesitating a little bit.
I'm interested in what do you think I'm going to give it?
This falls on like the low side of 5 for me, only because of the exaggeration that it has to do with certain Otome Isekai themes in order to like have those plot points. I think overall it's a 5 because it's such a great exploration of those ideas. And it's obviously something far and away from anything I've ever read. So, you know, very new and interesting as far as I'm concerned. Realistically, I would say this is like a 4.7, 4.8. But I'm good to give it a 5 because I think it's an important series, even if I'm not entirely hooked on it, you know?
So what are you giving it, Ben?
I'm giving it a 4.
Okay.
which is
pretty high. I don't know how many things I've given a 4 on this.
There's been a couple. I don't think you've ever given anything a 5 for content ideas yet, though.
No. 5's for me. So this is another thing to point out. 5 is really rare for me. Yeah. 5 and 1. I don't. That's either like perfect or what are you even doing?
Yeah.
But yeah, original idea, plot points are clearly developed, character arcs are satisfying. I think it meets all those criteria.
Yeah.
I knew pretty much as soon as I opened this, it wasn't going to be for me. So I read it, I looked for what other people were getting out of it, and it definitely seems like it's making an impact. I agree with you. I think it's important.
I think a 4 is fair. Kermit?
I'm a tourist in this place, so my scores get to not be really fitting of a scale of having to read more of these things. I'm giving a 5 to this one just because this is a double-edged sword of how we talked about it, is that it is an everything burger, and that I have to give it a 5 by virtue of I do like all the ideas that are being put on this burger, and that will be the everything portion will be paid back in a future scoring segment. So I think for what it's doing and at least what I'm aware of the genre, it's a 5.
Well, I think that leads pretty well into the next one, which is pacing and structure.
And then the birds come home to roost.
Here is where things are going to get dicey. I'm going to give this a 3.
I also gave it a 3.
I'm giving it a 2.
Ooh.
I think a 2 is fair. I'm between a 2 and a 3.
The story, a 2 is the story can be understood, but the pacing is still uncomfortable, either much too fast or much too slow, or just too much. I would say still fitting to that.
I actually thought the pacing itself wasn't terrible, but the way that it jumps around and it becomes unclear of who you're following, who certain people are, what timeline you're in, as we've already covered a lot, I think that drags it down. I think there is a way, without too much extra work, that this could have been a 4, at least for me. But I think, at least in the first season, it really dropped the ball on that. It makes me wonder if, you know, if you took this series as a whole and sort of gave the first season a handicap, if the series overall would go up to a 4. But obviously we don't have the entirety of the series, which, as we've seen time and time again with these ratings, makes it more difficult to rate properly.
Correct. I think I'm very biased in this because, I mean, I kind of talked about it earlier. It's just like when you have the name of the thing being they're forming the union, that's the plot line and the thing that brings me the most fantasy joy is like, I want the girls to kiss and the union to happen. And then I want the story to be about them building the union and fighting it back against the kingdom. and the story does not seem actually interested in doing that in any sort of speed or hastinessness. So it's like,
well,
for me personally, it felt very like, why are we talking about this? I want to get to the fireworks factory already. And then unionize at the fireworks factory. And then they kiss. Like, it just, like, felt like a lot of thumb twiddling.
I'll go ahead and spoil some stuff for you guys. So anybody who doesn't want to be spoiled, skip, like, a minute ahead. But at the end of the first season, after she's been accused and then exonerated, she's offered the head maid position in the house, which she accepts, which will allow her to very easily unionize that house.
Oh, but the whole... I don't like that.
Well, so I think what they're doing there is that they're going to then take it onward and say, like, now we're going to unionize everybody. Like, we're going to go to other houses.
But are they unionized within the house, or does she only get that when she gets to a leadership position?
It's going to facilitate the union being able to be formed.
Yes.
So
I'm kind of with Kermit. I wanted to read a story about a maid union, not a story about forming a maid union. And the maid, like, I'm worried that forming the maid union is the end of the story.
Well, with all of these titles,
this feels like the romance where it's like, finally the two people that should be together and the story is over. And it's like, that's why I said this, the union forming feels like the romance of the series, where it's happens, we're done. And it's like,
I wanted
maid
union hijinks. Yeah.
There's so many of these series where it's like the title is just what the ending is. It's like, I married the male lead. It's like, that's the end of the series. You can't put that as the title.
I'm just going to be waiting for it to happen. And when it'll be at the end, and I'll be too frustrated to get there. So,
but what do you call it? This isekai maid might form a union at some point.
Yeah. Again, some of this is the... I like Ben's point about if I was a teenager reading this. If current me could go back to being a teenager where I just had more patience for things and was more up for this kind of level of backstory and bullshit, I think I would just have a lot more patience for it. And now, as an old human, I don't.
Yeah.
This feels very much when I tried reading Homestuck in my mid-20s, and I was like, I can't do this. But clearly Homestuck is exceptionally popular, and I just don't have the capacity for that level of things to juggle in the air. As good as those things juggling could be, and are, clearly by its popularity, but...
If I was reading this in my AP Java class, I'd like it a lot better.
Exactly.
I wouldn't be doing AP Java.
All right, so moving on to characters. We forgot to say this, but this is not the rubric that includes romance, because there's hardly any romance at all.
I want to see the romance rubric and grade the union forming on the romance.
Oh, it might be important to note... in the author's notes at the end of season one, they actually answer a question of, like, who has what sexuality. The main character is bisexual. However, there is nothing in the entire series so far that goes like, oh, she actually has romantic relationships. That said, there are two characters who are explicitly ace. So,
fun.
That's a fun little thing. So there's like,
as long as they're not structurally four? Ace, they're not important. Like, oh, you can't date me. I'm ace.
Yeah,
I think there's like the Marine Corps.
There's like four named characters that are explicitly lesbian. Three, including the main character. No, it is four, because they call out that Lord Demeter is actually bisexual as well.
Of course he is.
And they have a funny little thing where he's like, what? No, I'm not. And it's like, yeah, you are. We can hear your thoughts.
Okay, maybe I did pick on that one. I don't remember if it was that or the him liking people from the Limpet Nation, even though everybody's racist against them.
I did think they didn't tell you what characters are straight, though. I was like, what? Why aren't
we're
you telling
weird
if
town.
Not otherwise they're, indicated?
They're the
we're
exception
default.
to the rule.
Right. You need to have fair representation there.
If it's true to my real life experience, the
win
lead
straight
is
pride.
No, Ben. The lead is a trans woman because almost all of my female trans friends are big into like unions and socialism and communism stuff, and that would feel at least more true to my lived experience. But No, it's good.
So anyway, characters. This one's difficult for me because there are a bunch of characters that do have, you know, good, they've been properly explained, you know, there's good world building with it, and like they have interesting arcs and they're established, you know, human characters. But there's some parts of it that are, as I said, I mean, sometimes I'm like, is this the same character? Is this a different character? What timeline are we in? So I almost feel like
brunettes.
I almost feel like the character rating here is being drugged down by the pacing and structure, which is why I'm going to give it a 3.
Yeah, I went with a 4. I'm kind of grading on a curve. I think the characters that you are meant to care about, that people do care about, are having satisfying arcs. I've read some discussion threads on this, and people have like very interesting in-depth opinions on where everything's going. I like the conversations it sparked. I don't think you could do that if you had like underdeveloped characters.
Yeah.
But there's a wild inconsistency.
I don't think anybody is underdeveloped, but I think their time in the storytelling oven isn't fully done. This metaphor is not working, but like, just because the author knows all the things going on with them doesn't mean it's showing up on the page in a in a way that makes me feel like I want to give them a 4.
And that's kind of where I'm at with like the, you have people asking you probably because they know there's going to be LGBT representation in this, what sexuality are all the characters? And it's like, again, it's the author note. It's like, you're literally telling me, but like, you could write something that...
Well, I'm going to get activated, but I'll let Brad go first.
I just want to be clear. Most of the characters that are listed there, when you read that, you go, oh, yeah. Of course, because this happened and that. So it's not like completely out of the blue. You could only tell because they wrote an author's note kind of thing.
No, I know. And it does show up in the story. But like, I guess it's kind of like, it's like what you're saying with the pacing is like, there's just not enough time for that to develop.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much going on that the relationships between the characters are like, it feels like it's going at a snail's pace. But it's because, like, we get a little bit further with that, and then it's time to do the other thing, and then we go with that, and then it's time to do the other thing.
We have to move all of our chess pieces, but we're not at one major shonen battle where at least everybody's in the same space, generally working towards the same thing. We're literally throughout time and realities and this and that. And
yeah. So, yeah. So I gave it a 3. But you said 4, Ben?
Yeah, I'm giving it a 4. I'm relying heavily on the criteria here. Most important characters are well developed, with many side characters lacking development or lacking.
I think that's a fair assessment.
I'm sure this person has a notebook filled with where everything goes.
I'm sure the character bibles are very extensive. If we were in Japan, their blood types would be there.
Yeah,
their favorite food for some reason.
But yeah, it just hasn't made it onto the page yet.
So Kermit, what did you give this?
I gave it a 3. Reading over the rubric, that felt like what matched the most, because when I tried to think of more of the characters, I know it has even been a while, I couldn't remember them in a way that it was like, oh yeah, there's so-and-so and so-and-so, in a way that I could do for, like, admittedly not Otome Manhwa, but other series that I've read where I could more actively point out characters.
Okay. So art competency. I'm giving this a 3, and I'm not sure if that's just because I don't personally like this style. For the most part, I'd say they're fairly consistent, but whatever it is about this style just strikes me as like, I really hesitate to say this because I don't think this for real, but it feels lazy. I don't think it's lazy. No. I don't think they're being lazy with it, but the way that it enters my eyeballs makes me feel like it's lazy.
Brad, did you read a lot of webcomics growing up?
I did, actually.
Oh, yeah, you actually did. I don't. It does have very big webcomic DeviantArt energy. I would say a step above that, but...
But still, when I think about all of the... When I think about all the webcomics that I used to read, like, most of them didn't have this kind of, like, sketched, painted style that they're going for here. Which, I can see people really enjoying that. It's not something that I am attracted to.
So, I'm interested to hear Kermit's opinion on this, because I don't like the style. But I went to their Instagram, actually, because there were, like, and this has happened with the other manhwa we've read, too. I can see mistakes in the art. But you're drawing week to week, you know, it happens. So I went to their Instagram. They're a talented artist. I mean, they've got their fundamentals down and everything. And you could tell the pieces they took more time with have a lot more skill on display. And I thought the coloring was actually really good. I really like the way they texture things. I like the way they, it almost has like a storybook feel in the colors. There's something to me about, and it is a webcomic style. It is a webtoon stylistic choice of the, like, I can only compare it to the, like, how to draw anime eyes.
It's not that bad, but it is close.
No.
It's close. I guess this is when I say that about something, it's very disparaging, and I know you're not being disparaging, but like, I would be in agreement that there's it's a very close cousin of Learn to Draw manga that you buy at AC Moore.
I'm not saying that this artist
did that. Yeah.
Did that. I'm saying, like, this style evolved from that.
Mm.
And this artist probably wasn't even around for those books. But yeah, that...
Oh, they're
that
still there. Don't worry. I look at them and I get to myself about how just... Sometimes there's like, oh, somebody actually knows what they're doing. And it's like, oh, somebody's uncle told them about anime once. And his uncle described what it looked like and they drew that.
Yeah. So, but there are panels that I really like. Like... I like the faces. I like a lot of the gag faces and the gag panels. But then there's other panels where it's just a little, like, blocky. The pose isn't, like, very dynamic. It was tough for me to gauge what was a stylistic choice and what was ability. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I went to their Instagram and I was like, I think it's a choice. Like, I think they can actually do... quite a bit. So I'm going to give this a 3 with like an asterisk.
A high 3. Like,
yeah, it's just, I think they're a good artist. It's just not my thing.
I'm basically on the same page. Kermit?
I have 2 questions. One, are these usually in color or in black and white? Is it the fact that it's a webtoon comic?
Manhwa is... pretty much always going to be color.
Okay, so color is not a novel exotic thing in
right,
this scenario.
Yeah.
Okay, my second question, looking at the rubric, is what is the difference between art competency and artistic flourish? Because that strikes me as a very, like, what's wisdom and what's intelligence on my character sheet? That these two things are the same, but they're not.
And I mean, so we decided, basically.
We decided to separate these because... there's competency because there are some where they are like the proportions and perspective are all wrong.
That was so my understanding, like, that like competency was you can literally understand what's going on the page, and artistic flourish is like, how does this speak stylistically to me?
Yeah.
One's more mechanical. Kind of
for flourish, we were kind of thinking like special effects, camera angles.
Oh, okay.
Are you taking like directorial techniques from like movies or something?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, I'm glad I asked that. I read over these. I'm in agreement with you guys. I like it more. I don't know. This is where I asked that question between the flourish and this is like, I love the color palette on this thing. A lot of these can have very samey regal things, and especially with the main character's hair and a bunch of other characters, I think it gives it a little extra vibrancy that I really like as someone who enjoys bright colors. I also see that very, like, webcomic-y webtoon thing, and I don't know, it's just that, like, I'm out of practice with those, or, like, the few that I still read don't have that art style anymore that makes it feel like I'm reading something from when I was a teenager and, like, went on Newgrounds and stuff. I'd say probably a 3. Similar to Ben with the asterisks, where it's like, it's good. I like a lot of the choices, but it just feels like it's not... It's doing its job, but also sometimes, I mean, I guess it would fit in here where it's just like, I didn't know two characters were different characters, and I feel like some of that falls under art choices because it was their visuals that made me go, oh, there were just, I just saw there were two brunette maids, and I just assumed they were the same human because I didn't notice ever them in the same frame, and then I learned at some point that that was not the scenario and was very confused, and that's something I feel like that falls on the art, so.
Yeah. When I went out onto the, like, the forums and stuff, it seems like it's very polarizing. There are people that really like this style and people that really don't like this style. But I saw things that I thought were extreme on both sides. Like people who were just like looked at it and they're like, I'm not reading that. That's garbage.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, that's not fair. It's not bad. Right.
It's got a watercolory, I mean, I guess to the storytelling, like it's got a very dreamlike watercolor quality to it. It's very ephemeral to it, but I like what they're doing.
Well, and so for all of those reasons,
yes,
for artistic flourish, I'm going to give it a 4.
I agree.
This is difficult because the difference between art competency and artistic flourish and like the different levels of those, like where do you really put this? But given the specific wording of this, the flourish and style add to the story and make it stand out amongst other comics. The style creates a strong atmosphere and or the special effects and layout make emotional moments pop. I think it's doing that. Even though I'm not really on board with the overall style, which is, I believe, the competency of the entire thing, I think the way that they use that style and how they do a lot of that, like, the camera angles and stuff, and there's, you know, special effects that are added from time to time, although not a whole lot, but like I think they do that part really well.
You talked me up to a 4, but I have one thing I gotta rant about. Okay. So the text and the word bubbles
is
like, you gotta get something else. Like,
what's really interesting about that is because it feels like a series that was written in another language, and Korean or whatever.
Translated.
And then translated.
Yes, it does have, like, I had a long time where I'm like, typesetter, I didn't know if this was an actual manhwa or not that was translated from Korean.
But then, like, the typesetter who was doing, like, who took the translation and put it in there did a bad job. But, okay. But I think it was written. I think it was.
That's intentional.
I think it was written in English, and I don't understand why the word bubble stuff is so bad.
Match the size of the text. So here's my thing. I know how they're making the word bubbles, like in Photoshop, they're doing the elliptical tool, and then they're doing the polygon tool, and then they're filling it with white with a stroke on the layer. And I know, like, for the ones where they're isn't a word bubble and it's just text, they're putting another big stroke effect on that. And then sometimes there's a double layer stroke effect where there's a black stroke and then a white stroke. And it's like, it's bringing it down. It's bringing the production.
I'll be honest with you. After the first like 2 or 3 chapters, I just like completely turned off my recognition of text bubbles and was just reading it with like just glancing at that stuff because it was so bad that I had to like put it out of my mind or else it would have been distracting.
It was distracting. It's constantly like, when I say it brings it down, it's like those word bubbles made me wonder, like when we're talking about art competency, it's like, does this person know what they're doing? It's like the typesetting's bad.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say, that's my rant. I'm not going to hold it against it. You have talked me up to a 4. I think a 3 is unfair.
I would put the text bubbles under art competency, which even furthers my 3 for that.
Yeah.
I hadn't really been thinking about it a whole lot. If I put more weight on the typesetting, art competency would have been a 2.
The typesetting's rough. And yeah. I know that's like, again, it's, I don't know. They might not be getting paid for this. They
probably
they have a Patreon. I don't know how well they're doing. I'm gonna go poke my head into that as well.
Yeah, but I got sympathy for it. Like, I've definitely gone through this phase myself of like bad typesetting. But like, that's just an easy thing to improve that would make a big difference. It doesn't seem like it would, but it would.
It was easy enough for me to ignore it. But I could see how other people, it could be like a big deal.
It's not going to make me stop reading it, but I think it adds to that. Like, the people who don't warm up to the art style immediately, it's going to add to their impression that it's bad.
But anyway,
if the artist happens to listen, that would be like the easiest thing to fix or the easiest thing to improve.
But anyway, artistic flourish. So Ben and I are giving that a 4. Kermit, what are your thoughts?
I'm giving it a 4. I think just it does have a very clear visual style. I mean, I don't think I would have been drawn to it as much as, you know me, I bounce off of things really hard. If they look generic and bland, I will bounce the heck out of there. If it sucks, hit to bricks. And I think this did have, and I don't know again how much the color palette was doing heavy lifting for me, but I think it does have a really particular look that it sticks with, and I think that's it is to its stylistic benefit most of the time.
So, yeah. All right.
Agreed 4s.
Well, so now the most important of all of the categories in the rubric, personal preference.
I'll fall on the sword. It's going to be a 2 for me, dog.
Oof.
I know. Thanks for fun, bud. Thanks for doing it. I feel terrible.
I'm going to give this a 3 for personal preference because I like so much of what it's doing. And this probably makes sense because I'm the one who read
most of it.
I like all of the ideas that it's doing. The things that I don't like about it aren't bad enough for me to like stop reading it. I'm probably not going to continue reading this in the same way that I read a lot of other series, which is like, oh, I gotta, read as much of this as possible, but I am going to go back to it. I'm going to keep reading it. Hopefully at some point I will catch up to real time. And then, cause once you catch up to real time, it's really easy to read a chapter a week. That's nothing.
Let me give you a caveat with mine. So here's the 2. Is I disliked it, but I can understand its appeal to others. So the whole point of the rubric is to kind of separate I liked it from it's good, or I didn't like it from it's bad. Here's the context. I am a 35-year-old cishet white man who has read exactly as many Otome Isekais as there are episodes of this heroin addiction podcast. So I don't think I was ever the target. Like, I don't think they were ever writing to me.
Yeah.
And that's totally fine. I don't like it. It's not something I would read for my own pleasure. But just based on what I have read of the Otome Isekai genre, I understand the place this is coming from, and I understand why it would work for a lot of people.
I mean,
I'd say well put.
Yeah, definitely. As a cis het, I guess, het, white man in his, I guess I'm in my late 30s now. Oh my God. those points are very valid. However, given my deep socialist tendencies, the ideas that are being presented here, I am so drawn to eat the rich.
Eat the rich. Give me a give me a freaking isekai about Eat the Rich. I don't want this hero to come and fight for the kingdom. I want the hero to fight the kingdom. That's what I want. I want the union. I want the unions to kiss.
So what number would you give that, then?
Ben fell on the sword for me, so it's a 3. I do feel generally positive about it, but as much as I want it to be my thing, it's not. It wasn't like there was a thing that happened that said, I'm not going to read this anymore, but it was just every time where I'm like, I'm going to read something. I tried to work up the motivation to read that, and I'm like, I'll read something else right now. I'm not in the mood to read that. And just its number never came up again until it floated in the background and I picked up something else. So just, it was... Those are the ones that are the hardest for me to detect where I'm like, I didn't like it. Because it was like, I was enjoying it, and then I just couldn't find the motivation to do it, even though I could find motivation to... I can like, oh, I'll just read another Skip and Loafer chapter. That's great. I'll read that instead. And that was very easy. Like, that... It flowed a lot nicer for me, motivation-wise, so...
I hate it when I'm like... I'm reading something, and I'm like... Oh, I really like this. And then, like, you figure out that, oh, you don't really have like the motivation to read it.
Yeah.
It's like, wait a minute. No, but I like it, but I don't want to read it. Wait, but I like it. What is going on here?
Like, there are a few where I do need to be in the right mood. Like, Chainsaw Man is very that. But this was just, like, when I was like, hey, brain, how don't we read this thing that we want to read? It's just like... Can't get the juice for it. Rather read something else.
Yeah.
And I couldn't tell you exactly. I mean, I guess we kind of... explored why, but in that moment I was just like, I can't think of anything necessarily wrong with it, just clearly didn't like it enough to be motivated to read more of it.
Yeah, it's always weird to be like, okay, how am I going to rate this for personal preference? Do I have to give it that low?
I know, I feel bad. Like, that's why it's like Ben fell on the sword. I'm my hands can remain slightly cleaner, but not by that much.
Yeah. So, you know, to wrap everything up, we got to talk about recommendation strength, which, you know, as much as we've, the lower numbers that we've been giving this, I'm going to give this a 4 for recommendation strength.
Samesies.
Low numbers. You should see Words About Books.
Don't you guys actively read more garbage on purpose? I feel like that's not a valid...
That's true.
We read good things. On this show.
That's true. I was like, these are high numbers for me. Yeah, so I'm between on this. So you tell me.
You tell me.
Defining genre fan. Because I know from having existed in the Otome Isekai community for a little bit, There is like a built-in audience for this.
Yeah.
There are people who would definitely like this quite a bit.
And that's the strong recommendation to genre fans. I feel like anybody who reads more than like 5 different Otome Isekais has to read this.
Okay.
And at the very least, read the prologue, at which point you'll probably be like, oh, I'll read a couple chapters of this at least.
That prologue is what's giving me an extra lot of power to give it also a 4, where it's just like, I don't know if you will like the series, but like that prologue, whatever proto chapter, is worth reading.
Yeah. Basically,
whether
everyone
you're an
Otome
fan or not, which is, I feel like, the.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'm the general audience that got pulled in by that name in the very same way some other anime can pull in people from not the anime community. That name and concept, especially me riding my maid high. I was like, yes, I want to check this out. This has finally piqued my interest.
Yeah, I would recommend this to anyone who... So, first of all, like I said, if you're an Otome Isekai fan who reads more than a few series, you have to read it.
Yeah.
If you are a person who likes anime, manga, manhwa, you know, cartoon stuff in general, and you're not a conservative, you have to read this.
Okay, you guys, you talked me up to a 4. I think that makes sense. I think it makes sense to give it. Yeah, if that's. Yeah, I think that makes sense. I was kind of trying to picture, like, who should I think of as a genre fan? Who should I think of as like a general audience? And that makes sense. I think it's worth trying out the prologue.
It would be sort of crazy to have something that Kermit is interested in and be like, oh, it's only a 3 or 2 for recommendations.
I'm the like general that. Audience in this scenario, and it worked. And that's why, even if I fell off of it, and again, like, it's just like, go, it's worthwhile reading the prologue thing, because even if you don't continue it, having, I am happier to have those ideas in my head.
Yeah.
And to think about others, like, I'm exceptionally happy I read it and to have those ideas thunking around that maybe I one day will do something akin to that, you know?
All right. So now we gotta add up all the points and see where we're at.
Oof. Why is your scale from 1 to 14 points? Why aren't we working with Paper Mario numbers where they're all nice and small? Like, why are these Final Fantasy numbers? Why aren't these Paper Mario numbers?
They will add up to 100.
Oh, there we go. I knew there was a reason.
All right. Unfortunately, this is the lowest score.
Oh, I feel.
I've given something so far.
I feel bad about this, guys.
Which. Again, like, this is why we actually go through the rubric, because all of the points here are very important. Then the end score does not necessarily mean it's a bad thing. So I'm at 64.
I'm at 62.
I'm at 61.
I'm going to add to your explanation. I'm going to add to your explanation that I consider 3 out of 5, which is 60% is 3 out of 5. I consider that to be a positive score.
It's some a people don't. Grade, some people but are it's like, not great.
It's well, and that's kind of where I'm at with this. Is I think it's good, but I don't think it's great. I think it could be great.
Yes.
Oh no, I just rated this on the website. And I dropped it from a 9.79 to a 9.77.
The power.
Oh, no.
See, that's the problem. Because if it's something you like that you fall off, you don't want to, like, I don't want to hurt it. I just would not rate it.
So this is the challenge with ratings. I'm not going to try to lower its score or anything. Because, like, part of the reason I make the rubric so you know exactly what I'm thinking about when I rate something, so you know what my rating means. The number doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Like, there are some people who are just like, I love this. 10 out of 10. There are some people who are like, I hate this. 1 out of 10. I don't think either of those things is necessarily fair.
I don't think either of those are, I mean, maybe the 10, but both of those are not useful.
I think the 10 is obviously, like, less malicious.
Correct. But, yeah. But like, a 1 it doesn't helps really... no. You can read it. Yeah. It's written in a way that you can read as a human being. The art resembles things.
There's some out there that's not quite accurate.
That's what I'm saying. That's what you save a 1 for. This is not, even if you did not like it, this isn't a 1. In the majority of scenarios where somebody gives something a 1 out of any numbered scale, unless it's 3, it's too much. It's too far. It just means they didn't like it and they just hit the note button, which is why most rating systems, unless they have this level of thoughtfulness that we're doing, aren't useful, because it's just did you love it or you hate it, and if you were middling, you just don't do it, because that's not how these work for us.
Well, the rubric is up on the website, so everyone who listens to this should definitely use the rubric when they are rating series that they like, so that everything is consistent.
One vote will be consistent amidst the sea of tens and zeros.
Well, and truthfully, if you want to leave a comment, if you're a huge fan of this series. And I know it has, like, really passionate fans.
Yeah, sorry, Trover.
Get on there.
We do like it.
We like, we're happy about it. We like you. I want it to be, yes, we support you.
Go ahead and comment. If you feel like we missed something that would be to the show's benefit, or not to the show, to the comic's benefit to have explained, leave a comment. We can have a discussion. We can even talk about it next episode if there's
enough.
There's enough buzz.
Well, here's the thing. Eventually, we are going to have a recap episode when enough series either complete or it's been long enough that there's, you know, more seasons or whatever. And we're going to go back and we're going to do some re-ratings. The first couple series we didn't do the rubric at all, so we'll probably cover that. So we are going to do some follow-ups here. If you leave comments, when we do those follow-ups, we will definitely address the comments that you leave. So,
yeah. And like I say, not here to make fun of your favorite series or tell you it's bad. It's not bad. No. Not by a long shot. It's not for me. My personal preference factors into this rating somewhat. There's two categories for that. So, you know, it is what it is. But I'm interested to see where this goes in a year. I definitely think this artist has a ton of potential. Because like we said, it's all good ideas. It's just like they're almost too excited to get their ideas out
there. I would love to see this artist come back to this in 5 years and start over, or have like an editor or something. Like, maybe, it's like, yeah. That's like, you can't, it's, I always hear this in acting. You always want to do too much, because at that point you can be told to do less. If you don't have enough, it's a lot harder to get more if your natural state is not enough. And this is clearly like, at least for us, too much. But
we said specifically, there's a couple points. Well, I said specifically, there's a couple points here where I would say the rating has the potential to be higher as I go further in.
It's true. It's not now, concluded. Conclusions matter a lot.
The thing is, there's a lot of these ratings here that I don't think would change. So realistically, this would go from a 6 to a 7 to me. I don't think it would get to an 8. Unless something drastic happened. But yeah, as we've been saying, I did like this. I gave this a 5 in one of these categories. 5s are rare. So it's obviously doing something right. All right. So now the most important part of the podcast, Kermit, I don't know how aware you are, but the most important thing we do in this podcast is picking the next series.
Oh, gosh, don't talk to me about it. I don't know. I'm not going to be here. I'm a special guest.
So I actually picked one ahead of time, mostly because this is a fairly new series. I'm looking at it right now. There's only 35 chapters out so far. But this was one that lots and lots of people were talking about, you know, just 3 or 4 chapters in. And so when I started reading it, which I want to say I got on about like chapter 6, 7, something like that, I immediately went, oh my God, we have to cover this.
Ooh, as soon as possible.
So we needed to do the recommended series first. So we got that one done. But it's time to cover this now. Mother's Contract Marriage. So I'm not going to go too far into it, but I will tell you that on Bato right now, it's got a 9.
You guys know this genre better than me, but that name makes me feel complicated.
So
a little uncomfy.
I don't think this would be a series that you, Kermit, would really latch onto in any way.
Can I get that segment of the rubric out of the way already?
Yeah. I would recommend you at least look at it, look at a couple chapters, just sort of skim it, because I think it would be interesting.
I will give it a try. You know I'm good for that.
I don't think you'll be interested in the story. I'll say that. But just give it a glance. And then maybe you can give us a little blurb for the next episode.
Looking at this art,
it starts with the child abuse hotline.
Looking at this art makes me want a webcomic in this style around the game Hades, because it reminds me of their character designs, and I adore the characters in Hades, which admittedly are just the Greek gods, but like those ones in particular. Okay, I'll report back.
Yeah, everybody should make sure that they're, you know, subscribed and everything, so they don't miss that one next month.
Lucky Traveling Kermit will send you his postcard.
Well, thanks for listening. Before we go, I wanted to say thanks to Segoy Mart for partnering with us. Segoy Mart is a retailer of Japanese snacks, drinks, toys, and merch. They have a lot of cool stuff you can't get outside of Japan. Check the link in the description or use code APR15 at checkout to get 15% off your first order, which also helps the podcast. You can let us know what you think about the podcast on social media and tell us if you have any series you want us to cover. Obviously, we do that. You can check out our website, animepodcasterreincarnation.com, where you can leave comments about the podcast episodes and also find other posts and reviews, as well as the rubric, which is up there now. It only took Ben 2.5 months to get it up there. Good job. On the website, we have our social links, which include our Patreon, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook. Maybe at some point I'll be on Threads. I don't know. But you can also send an email to isekaisenseisama@gmail.com if you want to just email us and not bother with social media. And don't forget to rate us on your podcast platform of choice. That really helps us out, gets us some visibility. And be sure to check out the regular podcast, That Time I Got Reincarnated in the Same World as an Anime Podcaster. We have a lot of fun with that. And if you're into maids, on our last episode, we went really in-depth on the opening of Akiba Maid War and the different translations that Kermit found about that.
Yes, we did. And I'm now in talks with the actual person who translated it, so I will probably make a follow-up video that's more edited at some point in the future.
And if you can't get enough of Ben talking about reading things, you can check out his other podcast, Words About Books. They very recently covered Battle Royale, the novel, which is what the movie is based on, which is what Fortnite and every other Battle Royale game is based on. I guess technically Fortnite's based off of PUBG Battlegrounds, which that is based off of Battle
Royale. I love to remember that Fortnite, when it originally was demoing, was not a battle royale game. It was just supposed to be a general, like, builder shooter, and then it just, yeah, they tried that because it was the new thing, and now that's blown the heck up. But it's really funny to think back about that.
They completely canceled the cooperative PvE game that they were building. Yep. And we're just like, oh, we're rich off of this now, I guess we're doing this.
I was almost a part of that demo, and then I just never did it.
Well, once again, thanks for listening.
Yeah, the thing about that, Isekai Sensei-sama, is I've been wanting to tell you. You know, ever since you slapped me for not uploading the rubric fast enough, I've been talking to Kermit, and we're unionizing.
Oh, God.
So, this is the contract proposal. You're going to need to increase our percentage of that Segoy Mart take.
I'm expecting pennies! Pennies!
Yeah, that's right, whole pennies. Not those fractions.
No hay pennies here. Fair and equal compensation.
Okay. Everybody comfortable?
Hi.
Ben, you done eating?
No, but I'll stop.
Cat has decided that's where he's going to stay. No. Nope.
Oh, you said it.
You've done this. You've done it now.
Well, yeah, rather it happen right now than...
Nowhere for you to go, man. Okay.
I'll be back.
He will.
See if I can do this a one and done. I read it last night when I was putting this together, but I wasn't so sure, so I slept on it. We'll see.
One and done.
You'd love to see it.
Sorry.
All good?
Cat demanded food.
Cat loves food, yeah.
I'm about to demand food here. Yeah.
If you want to make a podcast rating rubric and rate this podcast numerically,
I would love to see what that would be.
No, don't do that. We would get a very low score if someone objectively rated.
But I don't care about their rating. I want to know what their rubric looks like, because I had enjoyed reading this rubric because it gave me it empowered me to think more critically about each of the sections of this, and I really
appreciated that. Get a 2 in pacing and structure.
Now we move.
Characters, 5.
I would hope so. Let's not self-indulge too much.
That Isekai Sensei-sama, he's got a really great character.
He sounds really handsome.
It's the beard. It does a lot of work.
A lot of auditorial work.
His beard is lush and full.
So I do have a super secret recommendation.
No sells in. What a capitalist. If you say you're communist, what a capitalist.
There's this villainous Otome Isekai manga that I started reading recently. It's actually completed, although only up to chapter 10 is out scanlated right now. But I think it's only like 16 chapters long. It's a nice little short thing to cover, but it's called With One Day Left, I'll Break All the Destruction Flags.
Cool.
This was really interesting to me, and I think a lot of the Otome Isekai community would get into this because it takes the whole, like, oh, I got, you know, isekai'd as a villainous thing, except it does a really interesting thing where she's isekai'd literally like 24 hours before the whole like breaking off the engagement event thing. And so she's like, I have 24 hours to fix this stuff and like make sure that I don't get like executed and everything. And so like each chapter is like a little bit of time that she's, you know, oh, she sets this up and then go on to the next one and she's going to set up this thing and so on and so forth. As I said, I've only read the 10 chapters so far. So, we didn't get to like the end and have all the cool, like house of cards come falling down and everything. But, I'm having a really good time with it. I think it's really well done. And I think, the Otome Isekai community would really like it. All right, gentlemen, that'll do it.
Woo!
2-hour episode.
Oof.
No, it'll be under 2 hours, but that might be this might be the longest one.
Admittedly, you had another person to voice their opinions you didn't have before, so it makes sense this became a normal podcast length for us because it was all three of us bouncing off each other.
They just keep getting longer though.
Two factorials, oh, talented, only two, but three factorials.
Actually, this isn't gonna be the longest one. The talented maid one was 1:56.
Yeah.
I'm glad I jumped in for this. I did not think I had enough, and then it worked out, and I had a good time. So
no, it was great.
I appreciate it.
I definitely don't think this would be like a normal thing, but no. Given
We needed the outside, like, perspective on, like, was the Otome Isekai stuff too unapproachable?
I was happy to both bring that and be able to ask those questions to somebody of, like, hey, is this normal? Would this make more sense if I was coming in with more knowledge or stuff? And I was just also very glad that, without fully understanding it myself, you two also had the same feelings about it that I did, and that felt very validating, so I thought I was going to have to, like, fight a confusing uphill battle or downhill battle, depending, because I didn't really 100% understood why I felt about it. So, yeah.
No, I think it's a good different perspective that you brought in.
Yeah, and not just although, I don't want to read this and I hate it because it was not that at all.
It did not seem like
helpful or conducive to anything.
It did seem like even though we're all coming at it from different directions, we sort of ended up with the same conclusion.
Yeah, it's a too many things burger. I like burgers.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if I like burgers in this, if this metaphor works, because I don't know if I necessarily like Otome, but it's like, I like all these things on a burger. I like them individually. I like them maybe in small groups, but this burger has too many things on it. I can't have apple and pickle on the same burger. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I try not to, like, old man it too much.
But I think that's the other thing is, like, I don't know how much that is just us not being the target audience, because it just felt like this was the first thing that gave me a whiff of those other ideas that I really like and was really happy to see, and that's why it was just frustrating that there was just, like, in just how it was going about it, it wasn't focusing on that.
Yeah, I didn't want to call anybody out who, like, wasn't ready to be called out, but there's been a couple of people... Not call out. I mean, like, just draw attention to. But there's a lot of people who have been writing web novels. I've been lurking in the Otome Isekai writing section, and they are addressing like the race stuff and the, like, I want an Otome Isekai that reflects my experience as well. There are people doing this and doing it a little bit better, in my opinion, but they haven't put out a comic, which is, you know, twice the work, if not more.
Correct.
Definitely more than twice.
It's one of those, it's just like, this is a one-person team. I went to check their Patreon, because I don't know if they have it, I don't know if they have it linked on Webtoon, because clearly they've got a lot of people reading it, and it's really highly related. They have 3 patrons, and they're making $8 a month, and that seemed like a travesty? But which is, yeah. I think that more supports the thing that a lot of teenagers that don't have money to give on Patreon, like we do, are reading this and giving them money. But, like, that seems criminally low for how seemingly popular this is on Webtoons. And how many people are reading it. And how highly, like, it's just like, this doesn't compute. Like, not...
I hope they're getting some compensation elsewhere.
A double-digit amount of subscribers, or of patrons, like, you know.
Yeah, I don't know if you can monetize on Webtoons to get, like, a chunk of the ad.
Maybe, I'm guessing their Patreon just can't be linked on Webtoons. I don't know that. But I know, like, that's a weird thing with other websites where they have to, like, talk around Patreon.
I mean, they have 12,600 subs on Webtoon.
Wow. How is that? Unless I misread it, how does that reflect 3 patrons for $8? Like, that's why I think it's like, I think this is just a bunch of young people that do not have money or think about
Patreon. The rating went back up to 9.78. Somebody rated it after I did.
Somebody cleaned up your mess. Your justifiable mess.
I was going to say, Ben, you have no excuse to not read all of the next series.
Wow.
Yeah. The 35 chapters.
Yeah.
I can do that.
Also, like, they're also short chapters. Every week when it comes out, I'm always disappointed how short it is.
Look, I'm going to be real with you. I started reading this one. I got to chapter 30 and I, like, had no idea what was going on. The 2 brown haired girls was really throwing me off. I skipped ahead a little bit. And I didn't mention this because it was, you know, I skipped. But, like, there's a ghost kid now.
What?
Yeah.
Guys, your initial setup was already a slam dunk. I don't need a ghost child. This doesn't have anything to do with the... whatever.
Yeah, I was like, what the
hell? I mean, I guess if people are... Is that ghost child in all... Again, it's the everything burger. And individually or in small groups, it's a delicious burger, but it's too many things.
Yeah.
I've never put up ghost peppers on a burger before, but I guess here we are.
What if it hurt to eat?
What if it was a big meta move and the act of reading it should hurt?